and for this program on the radio station here this morning. Let's go.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM, streaming at ckuw.ca. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us, and stay tuned. CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 MHz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4CM11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B2E9. You can call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Victoria King speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
City of Philadelphia. Please give it up, Black Ice.
What happens in neighborhoods where the self-esteem has been overshadowed by the decay and the children no longer play the way they used to? Where young boys choose to follow figures that had no father figures, a place where lives have been reduced to mere names on a nigga wall. A lot of dead shames on a nigga wall, cause most of my childhood friends died over some dumb shit. It's like we all on some slum shit. Whatever happened to that we shall overcome shit? Nigga, where I'm from, shit, they done tore down the projects and took away neighborhood sports. It's a place where little black boys put on jerseys and shorts, dream big about stardom on fine hardwood courts, but awake to the harsh reality of the stripped, unfinished inner city floor where life splinters. Cold winters are sheltered by crack houses instead of recreational centers that they claim to not have the paper to keep open for operation. The deconstruction of the black family has been in perpetuation ever since Willie Lynch set his theory in motion. Decharacterization was his sole promotion. Therefore, if you take the basketball at his face and put the coke in his place, he'll still score. What's a young boy to do when he doesn't want to do wrong, but there's a lock on the right door? When he has the heart of a soldier, the aggression of a prize fighter, but no one's taught him what to fight for. See, most of our families are fatherless and quite poor, so we miss out on meals as well as kisses and hugs. You've got the audacity to cut the funding for the facilities that keep us off the streets, then ask us why we sell drugs. But imagine if niggas put down their dice and guns, picked up their daughters and sons, and put a little love right there where the hate is. Imagine if niggas had the chance to become accountants before being taught what the difference between wet and dry weight is. Imagine if these little inner city kids had the same type of schools that these rich kids have way out there in the sticks. Imagine if niggas had the chance to learn chemistry for real before we learn how to whip 7.5 out of 6. Imagine if these little black girls could go to that dance school for free and learn to love the dream of that Broadway show. Imagine if she wasn't forced into a game where you assume a filthy name and put your soul in your ass up for show. Imagine if she was taught to love herself, imitate no one, demand and demonstrate respect when she walks through the door. Imagine if she watched the telly and saw herself during the primetime hour instead of the 4 o'clock video whore. Imagine.
The children laugh, the old ones laugh. The newborn cry, the elders weep. The knowledge of infants and elders, separated only by years. Adulthood lost to grown-up fear, the only security being insecurity, changing crying to weeping. The wisdom of infants and elders, crying and laughing, weeping and laughing. Songs in the beginning, sung in the end. Endure. The people cry out, tears of anger, tears of sorrow, flowing, giving birth to resistance, young ones to remember, struggle, for the people cry out, tears of happiness, tears of joy, washing the pain, cleaning the spirit, giving strength, the generations remembering the past to rebuild the future, for weeping is another way of laughing, and resisting and outlasting the enemy.
For a day like today, bright and shining, so glory. Everyone with a flag and a smile on their face. Lordy daddy, of every creed and race. Lord, phenomenal, lovely atmosphere. If the Lord is our shepherd, who shall be fear?
No one. Yes, the party started on here at CKUW 95.9 FM on your dial in Winnipeg. We are at 515 Portage Avenue on the 4.5 floor Centennial Manitoba Hall. Look out, look out. Rafiko, Prince Ubuna, Princess Tintulam, Queen Victoria, Dr. T and John, who is here but never here. Sometimes here, Rachel. Doing editorial, but most of the time here, getting us on, off, and around the signal. Catherine. Boom!
Listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, and the radio show name is called Fantastic Friday. Please come and join us every single Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
Oh. is starting to wear off and people are starting to panic.
This bridge along Highway 10 was one of the last access points between Minnetonas and Swan River, but it's been destroyed by severe flooding over the past few days. The flood has left residents in Minnetonas without power and clean drinking water. Many of the town's basements now flooded. Many yards still look like ponds, much of which dried up, damaged. The force of water crashing objects together as it rushed down streets.
My entire one basement wall was pouring water in through the window. Even some of the cracks in the wall were leaking. And I wanted to see why, so I went and opened my back door, and that was a big mistake because water just came in. Like, thank God my stairs to my basement right there. It flooded the entire basement.
Residents are now doing what they can to support each other as they await help from outside the community. Resident Peter Fleming says cell reception and internet connection have been impacted, making communication outside the area difficult.
There's no cell service. You can't get in touch with people, you know, family, friends. They're trying to get in touch with them, and it's just... It's kind of chaos here right now.
This is going down into my basement. Yesterday I woke up to like 3 feet of water in my basement.
Carrie Graham says this has shaken her community, but it's also bringing out the best in them.
We've just been utilizing the resources that we have. We're pooling everything together, trying to support each other, and just focusing on what we can control.
To alleviate some of the stress, crews are now breaking apart sections of Highway 10 to alleviate some of the pooled water. That, as some fear, the worst has yet to come, as the forecast over the next few days shows rain and a potential for thunderstorms. Vasilios Bellos, Global News, Swan River.
Hey everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay, thanks, bye.
Love.
Yeah, some oldies to bring people into the reminder of how music was and is. It's all love.
Listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is my favorite morning wake-up show.
So is she down with you? You ain't got a second guess her. She be really about her business. And for a real nigga, she gon' make that pussy twerk. Set that dick right in the morning, right before you go to work. Bitch up in here right now, that I know. These hoes think they know about her, but they don't. Cause she don't put her business out, she keep it low. They say they gon' be happy for her, but she know they won't. It's a bitch up in here right now, that's getting money. She really got her bread. head up the mother hoes front. And she ain't gotta wait for baby daddy child support. Her kids gon' eat real good either way it go. She don't rock with everybody, so wish she down with you. You ain't got a second guess, so she be really by the business. And for a real nigga, she gon' make that pussy twerk. Suck that dick up in the morning right before you go to work. Up in here right now, she don't give a fuck. And if you got a problem with it, y'all can get it up. Cause you can get your issue bringing nasty shit to her. If it don't pay her bills, then she don't give a fuck. It's a bitch up in here right now. That pussy ready. But you gotta be a big dog for you to get it. And you ain't gotta lie. She already know what's up. She ain't worried about sweating you. More worried about you sweating her. She don't rock with everybody though. So is she down with you? You ain't got a second guess. Or she be really
bad. Coconut water.
Damn, Finn.
Coconut water. Cocoa, coconut water. And make sure that's cookie tea. Tea. While we in Florida, he said I been like a bad hoe. I'm like, yo, hold up. I'm tryna hop on your face and spark it up like a motor. Coconut water. Cocoa, coconut water. And make sure that's cookie tea. Tea. While we in Florida, he said I been like a bad hoe. I'm like, yo, hold up. I'm tryna hop on your face and spark it up like a motor. He think I act like a bougie. Bitch, I keep this Uzi. Clipped. Got this corset on me. It's gonna make me hot juicy. Tits. To rap polo, but now I got on that Gucci. Shit. If you keep talking, then I'ma act like a moody. He said I act like a bad hoe. I'm like a hoe. I just got me a tan. Whoa, I hear Florida. I keep this dick in my sand. Toes, I keep it loaded. I'm in Dakota, sipping a Coca-Cola. Coconut water. He said he David, they follow my orders. I treat that little bitch like she one of my daughters. I out the country, but I stay in the zone. I told her, clap it in my face. Leave a trace. Can I touch the cake? Is it in your place? Hold on, wait. Just do what I say. Gonna buy me down every day, even if it's late. When he get the cookie, you know he gon' celebrate. Coconut water, cocoa, coconut water. And make sure this cookie tea, tea. While we in Florida, he said I been like a bad hoe. I'm like, yo, hold up. I'm tryna hop on your face and spark it up like a motor. Coconut water, cocoa, coconut water. And make sure this cookie tea, tea. While we in Florida, he said I been like a bad
hoe. Hi, I'm Dale Rufus, and you're listening to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9, my favorite Friday morning wake-up show.
This is for my city dwellers, my storytellers, my soundscapers, music makers, and my dreamers of dreams. This is for the beat layers, the street sayers, the graph writers, and the painters. This is for the crate keepers, the image freezers, the lens seekers, and the photogs. This is for the spinners, the rewinders, drop the needle, pull it back, and come againers. This is for the movers, the body users, the kinetic acrobatic defying gravity provers. This is for the filmmakers, the actors, the activators, my sculptors, and my cans. Sprayers. This is for the da-da-dubbers, the dancers, the scribers, the scholars. This is for the freestylers, my improvisers, my poetical, lyrical, spiritual vocalizers. This is for my speechifiers, for the visionaries, for the bridge builders, the chain breakers, the power takers. This is for the door crashers, my drum beaters, the call to action taker to the streeters. For my behind the sceners, my planners, my finders, our on task and right on timers. For our organizers, our survivors, our motivators, and our strivers. This is for the uplifters and uprisers. This is for you, our ancestors. This is for you, our people blessers, our children, for our vision, for our villages, our hoods, our nations, our truths. This is for our culture, for our generation. This is for our creator and our creation. This is for our inner being and our outer, for our say it louder, big and prouder. This is for the art, for the word. This is for the sound. This is for the power.
Power to the people.
Thank you.
guy.
He done quit his 9 to 5. He drank full time and now he's living in a bottle. See that black boy over there running scared. His old man got a problem and it's a bad
yes.
one.
He ain't punk as you want it. Punk as
his old woman waiting to pay for bottle.
That is black boy.
And don't you think it's a crime when time after time after time people in the bottom, there's people living in the bottom. Listen to me, see that sister, her shirt was fine, but she started drinking wine from the bottom.
Hi, I'm Colleen. Please listen to Fantastic Friday every Friday from 6 to 8 a.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Come join us.
'60s punk and soul. Dig it?
Watch out. Adam Mercy. Adam Mercy. watch me now. It name murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Shuffle the date me at the queen in a the park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the con, so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life, them won't forgive me a fight. Show me look cute and them no look too right. They call a need to over me, man a fight. And that now one, no time in a them life. Me no cut up, I can model every time. Absolute niceness, coming with pair rhyme. First class dress code and your style a lick. The quality, my feet come back quick. Cause murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Truffle the date me a the queen in a the park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the con, so no better watch that. Yo, ask me no speed, me no king. Me
hi everyone, my name is Belaine Osman. I'm a student here at the U of W. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
A black woman or a black child.
No mind your nationality. You have got the identity
and perspicacity. Hey!
Cause if you come from Clarendon,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Portland,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Westmoreland, you're an African.
It don't matter at all. Because coming to you all the way from West Africa in a country called so Nigeria is a brother they call Prince Ubono to give you news and views about Africa, from Africa, to Africa, around Africa, and all the suffering people in the world, people who are oppressed, downpressed, and suppressed.
Yes, good morning, Yuko, and good morning to all for listeners. So, no, Kedu, Kekwano, from Africa. Question. Our first piece is from the question. Now we speak with Lala Yunz, an investigative journalist based in Beirut. She says President Trump's claims that he wants peace with Iran are absurd because the United States continues to support Israel's aggression in southern Lebanon. Stay tuned.
I was not surprised by the Iranian attack on Israel. In fact, a couple of days ago,
So first, I'll take you to the village of Ain Arab, which is a small village in the plains near the southern border. That's what I wrote about for my last drop site story. And it's the story of what can only really be described as the ethnic cleansing of that village. People returned there after the quote-unquote ceasefire in mid-April. And I think this story, along with others, will tell you just how much the word ceasefire has lost its meaning in both Lebanon and in Gaza. But these, you know, villagers returned after the ceasefire. The first day that they're there, an Israeli, a group of Israeli soldiers visit the village, tell them that there's a curfew, and they set up a checkpoint on the southern end of the village. 12 days later, they return in over 100 of them. Streaming behind an armored bulldozer. My source, Nasreen Abdel'al, is at her corner store when this happens. They sweep into the village. They tell people, you have 2 hours to leave. They don't even give them that, according to Nasreen. They go door to door at gunpoint, telling people, you leave right now or we shoot you. And I think that, you know, this story is really emblematic of what we've seen among villages in the southern region. And remember, Ain Arab is actually north of the so-called yellow line, underscoring the arbitrary nature of these boundaries. So, you know, the kind of continued insistence that southern Lebanese people leave their land, head north with nowhere to go. And, you know, what sources have told me, whether, you know, in the city of Sur Tir, as you were just talking about in your headlines, or in the city of Nabatir or other villages across the south, is more and more people saying, well, we actually refuse to leave, because for months now they've been forced into displacement. They've been forced to live in government shelters that are not adequate, are not clean. They've also been subjected to steep rent hikes and scrutiny, because many of them are from the Shia community, which Israel has made a point of targeting even into their displacement. Now, as for the second part of your question, you know, Iran made very clear that an Israeli escalation in Beirut would derail negotiations. Israel clearly did not heed this call. They've been wanting to strike the southern suburbs, and they did in broad daylight in the neighborhood of Hayya Sillom. And then following that, Iran in the evening launched a volley of missiles towards Israel. Israel then responds, and then you have Trump on Truth Social, you know, right, stop shooting. And I think it's just really important to emphasize the absurdity of all of this, right? Because, you know, Trump is kind of waving his hand saying, you know, we want a deal, we want peace. Let's remember, this all began with the U.S.-Israeli assault on Iran. That's kind of what this whole thing was sparked from. And the U.S.'s continued support for Israel's aggression in southern Lebanon is the reason we are where we are right now.
Our next piece also from the question now is Pekutrutepasi, who notes that Israel's leaders want to extend their deterrence to Lebanon. Stay tuned for that.
I was not surprised by the Iranian attack on Israel. In fact, a couple of days ago, just before Trump had his first colorful conversation with Netanyahu, the Iranians had already signaled that they were about to strike Israel. They were probably 45 to 60 minutes away of doing so. That's when Trump intervened and the situation was diffused. So the fact that the Iranians were going to enforce their red line in Lebanon, I don't think was a surprise. And I think the U.S. government took it seriously as well. What is perhaps a bit surprising is the immediate reaction that Trump had. And of course, then that the Israelis defied Trump's expressed wishes. And where that goes from now, we will have to see. But it's important to understand that what the Iranians were trying to do, and what really worries the Israelis, is that they were trying to extend their deterrence. They had already established their own deterrence in the sense that any attack on Iran clearly would be retaliated against. But now they were trying to say that even if the Israelis were to attack Lebanon, southern Lebanon, they would also face Iranian retaliation, which would be the first time in a very long time that a major power would put real hard power behind a warning or a deterrent against an attack by Israel on a third country. And this is part of what the Israelis are worried about, because if it suddenly means that they can no longer have that complete maneuverability in Lebanon, in Gaza, and elsewhere that they enjoy, that they are enjoying, because the West is more and less enabling that to happen, they're politically defending it, etc. And for the last couple of decades, it has not been challenged by any regional state in a sincere or serious way. This appears to have been an attempt by the Iranians to challenge that, to establish this extended deterrence. And this is part of the reason why the Israelis have acted so aggressively against this attempt, as they call it, to establish a new equation in the region.
Next, we talked to Hamawi, who is an outspoken advocate for Palestinian rights and volunteered in Gaza during Israel's genocidal assault on the territory. Stay tuned.
I was running on something very simple, is that we should be spending on healthcare, not bombs. We should be spending on our communities here, you know, in New Jersey, in America, and not funding bombs overseas for, you know, atrocities and genocide. We should not be funding the endless wars that we're seeing. We shouldn't be funding ICE. And this was a message that people wanted to hear, that people were waiting to hear, because we see the problems that we have at home that we are ignoring. You just went through your War and Peace report, and we see that, you know, we need the billions of dollars that are being spent on these endless wars to fix our communities and to restore the democracy that seems to be being dismantled right in front of us. So I've been working in war and disaster zones for the last 30 years. I've, you know, volunteered, you know, 2 weeks out of a year or sometimes longer, and then I come back feeling that I have given back. And I couldn't do that after coming back from Gaza. I just couldn't go back to life as usual because what I witnessed there wasn't a war. I witnessed a level of destruction I had never experienced before. What I witnessed was really a genocide. I was taking care of the victims of it, and I couldn't stay silent. And with the restriction on foreign journalists from entering, I had a front seat view, and I felt that I had to go to my lawmakers and say, we are enabling this to happen as a country. We are using American tax dollars for this to happen. And I started advocating and going to D.C., and I found that many doors were closed. People didn't even want to hear what was happening. They wouldn't even listen, whether they agreed or not. And so when this seat became open, when Bonnie Watson Coleman, our current congresswoman, said she was going to retire, I felt I had to run. I had to continue her legacy of fighting for the people, fighting for justice, and having the moral courage to stand up and make sure that we continued this fight. And you know, as a surgeon, you know, I don't like, just putting Band-Aids on issues. I go to the source. And currently, many of the problems that we have here at home with healthcare, with education, with our infrastructure, with housing, starts in Washington. And these endless wars start in Washington. So this is where I'm going.
Next, we go to Black Agenda Radio. For the first piece, we talked to Ajamu Baraka, who is a Black Agenda reporter, who contributor, editor, and director of the North-South Project for People-Centered Human Rights. The North-South Project is among the organizations calling for a boycott of the World Cup and a boycott of the U.S. Stay tuned for that.
Basically, what we're looking at now is a process in which the World Cup games have been completely corrupted by the greed of corporations, the greed and opportunism of the organization that is primarily responsible for conducting the World Cup games. To the extent that FIFA has violated its own protocols, its own internal standards and values in allowing the United States of America to, in fact, host the World Cup. Well, why did they do that? Well, the main objective, basically, is that they have projected that they have the possibility of making, that is FIFA as an organization, $11-12 billion. So it's about the money. It's about the Benjamins. And so the fact that a nation, the United States of America, that's involved in the kind of international criminology that we see it engaged in, systematic crimes against humanity, war crimes, and the ultimate crime, genocide, and the violation of the right to peace, this war of choice against Iran, if it wasn't the U.S., the games would never be allowed to occur here. So what we have done as representatives of the human rights community, if you will, through our North-South Project, as African radicals and concerned human beings, we have said that we have to build opposition to this. And what we ended up doing, Margaret, we started to move toward building and help to build a new international coalition. The anti-fascist football coalition, made up of organizations from various parts of the world and, of course, from within the U.S. The World Cup this year is unique in another way, in that it's being shared not just by the U.S., but also Canada and Mexico. And so members of the coalition also emanate from those two countries also. And so what we did was we entered into a conversation with FIFA. But more importantly, we entered into a conversation with the general public. We said, we can see what the objective is of having the World Cup in the U.S. It's not just about the money, which, of course, is the driving factor. But what we also said was this would have the political objective of sports washing the United States of America and its criminality. And it would have the devastating consequence of normalizing genocide. The U.S. is the main perpetrator of the support mechanisms for the genocide being carried out, ongoing genocide in Gaza by the Israeli fascists.
And lastly, we talked to Richard Menthouse, who discusses his latest investigative reporting, the Petrogas dollar, the secret U.S. strategy behind the Iran war, and analysis of the latest situation of U.S. Stay tuned for that.
But what the U.S. are doing now, in my opinion, is they saw what's going on after Ukraine, you know, Russia pivoted east and started like selling oil and gas to Asia. And so they're literally trying to stop that now. This is their response. They want to block trade between global South countries. And if you look at Iran, Venezuela, Russia, these are one third of China's oil supply. You add them up, Russia's 17%, Iran is 11%, Venezuela's 4%. And they're also crucial for the teapot refinery. So, you know, this is a national security threat. If I were the Chinese, I would literally feel that this is an act of war. And I think it's accurate to describe it like that. So it's a lot of things going on at the same time, but I do not look at it as one war in Iran. It's really a concerted imperialist effort to control oil, control trade, and if you will, redraw the trade routes on the planet. Canada is not just important like Greenland because you can get ships past the trade routes there in the Arctic. It's also because Canada supplies oil. So, you know, it's very important for the U.S. owned energy. I don't like to use the word security because it's really not security at all. It's predatory. So you could say maybe energy dominance or whatever. But yeah, that's why he wants Canada. And he doesn't always explain why, but he's left all these clues. That's one of them. Like, I want Greenland, I want Canada. And then he talks about, you know, the too many ships being there. Well, what ships are they? They're usually, you know, the Arctic is open like half the year. And even when it's open during summer, it's very hard to get ships through. But he's basically referring to the trade. And that's, it's explicitly mentioned in the UK Arctic brief. So it's very obviously connected. And in the UK brief, they mentioned we're here to support the US. So it's all connected. It's very, very explicit what's going on. But like you said, this problem is they disregard what Trump is saying. And it's not even a strategy from this administration. Like I recall I had this like faint memory of meetings between Dick Cheney and oil, something like that. And so I went back and I started digging. And the White House, this is in 2001. So this is right after Dick Cheney becomes vice president with Bush as president. And he held like 40, at least 40 that we know of, secret meetings with all of the executives of big oil. So like, you know, Shell, you know, BP, Chevron, all of them, literally all of them. And it's Dick Cheney, his aides, and these, you know, Wall Street types sitting in a room and writing the national energy policy, which is scandalous because that's literally a government policy blueprint. They're not supposed to be that overtly involved or ideally not at all involved. But that's why the White House fought to the Supreme Court from 2001 to 2007 to try and hide these meetings. So it's a really big scandal. And that document, the National Energy Policy, I went through it and it becomes very, very clear that this is extremely well studied and they make the pillar of the whole thing the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah, man, morning.
Mm-hmm, how's it going?
I still there fighting, living, you know, but fighting.
Good, good.
Mm-hmm. How it going?
Well,
I see preparation for tomorrow, and tomorrow is the big day.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if it's going to be rainy or if it's going to be sunny and nice. We shall see.
If it's raining, it's a blessing.
Mm-hmm. It is. That's what they say, yes. as long as it's not a hindrance for people coming out.
Yeah.
And that's the coming out to the Western Cultural Center.
Mm-hmm.
That's tomorrow, which is the 13th for everyone. We're saying June 13th. And that's for the High Road Band.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing at the Western Cultural Center, $25 tickets. I believe the doors are open at 7. People come on out, check it out. Music will start by 8. And we're, going to be selling T-shirts and apparently the CD of the album and different things like that there.
Mm-hmm.
So, come check out the little rocky, reggae, punky funky, or whatever you want to say, type of thing.
Mm.
And yeah, that's the major one. And if it is not, unless it's not called off, it's also I'm going to be on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
On the 14th, I believe we are still at the Bar Italia that's coming up. And that's going to be probably some kind of 6-ish someplace there, maybe 6:30 or something, to about, I don't know if it's 11 or 12 or something like that.
One, two, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, at the moment, those are the bigger ones coming up. So yeah, if people want to come and check it out, that would be cool.
Tell me something to expect.
Something to expect.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure what to expect myself yet. So, but yeah, we will see. Hopefully there's going to be enough of a turnout. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I said, there's going to be some merch and thing like that down there.
Mm-hmm.
I still yet to see the site itself and where we setting up and where this and where that. So not exactly sure. I haven't been to the Cultural Center for some time. We played there some years ago, Dredd. Already played some years ago. I know lots of people might have played there. Even the Dredd and myself, we were there. Mm-hmm. I think it might have been with little Rockin' Robbie. And we were doing some drumming and stuff like that. Place was pretty packed up. It seemed like they was digging it. So, yeah, there's a many different musical scenarios over the years.
Yeah.
Even when I was, many years, even towards the teenagerness, was still playing some kind of different punky things there.
Mm-hmm.
I think at those times. So, yeah. So, not fully sure what to expect. I hope the sound will be good. I hope it will not be too chilly in there with any kind of air con for people and just nice enough. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't really say exactly what to expect. I have yet to investigate myself. How's the place there now and things like that? Because I haven't really been in there, I have to admit. So, I'm hopefully to expect a niceness of music and thing like that there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I expect two people who come out would be nice and connecting and loving the music and loving the atmosphere.
Yeah, I should definitely hope so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys giving away any tickets anywhere?
I don't know if we were giving away tickets at the moment. Not that I heard. I know some of that might have happened already, if you could say, off the air with different folks.
Mm-hmm. All right, there you go. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, it's supposed to be one of the, I think the guitar man, one of the, what you call special guests, is going to be one of the fellows that was playing with the Crash Test Dummies.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another Canadian band that was doing quite well. And this was, I believe, also one of the members that was also assisting them, and he's probably also playing in some other bands, so
mm-hmm.
he should be there. You will be seeing also
you do have openers.
No, we are the only band at the moment. We don't have an opener.
Oh, you have guests in. Yeah.
They're supposed to be for the second act. Umpo Mambira will also be there, of the Bongo Bongo fame and some different thing. He was also part of Bongo Love, that did quite well. He's going to be there doing some extra percussion and hand drumming and things like that. So he's, you could say, a special guest along with the other fellow there, whose his name is Murray, from that Crash Test Dummies. He's coming to play some guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I did going to be also a backup singer, I think. The guitar man, Keith, I think he has some sisters that is coming down. Some of his sisters are going to come and help vocalize and things like that. So there will be some additional...
It will be quite an affair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see how is this all going to, you know...
Turn out, yeah.
Turn out. That is the... For myself, so I also want to hear and see. And the Dredd, you can just hear it.
Well, I look... Unless I put on spectacular eyes.
Mm-hmm. We're going to put on a special electric eye.
Yeah. He saw us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I look forward to being there and enjoying the best of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oguna looking forward.
You guys is in for free, eh?
Catherine.
Oguna, Catherine, you guys, Fantastic Fridays, you guys is in for free, eh?
I told we had to pay.
You don't have to pay because you guys are always checking out the different thing what we play every time. So, yeah, you guys just come on in.
I just pull in your leg.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You guys coming in, but $20 to $25 ticket, that is actually what it is out there. And people come on down to the WEC. 7 o'clock.
Yeah, we open. Look forward. We look forward to being here. We even have a tune here lined up from the album.
Okay.
Just to give the listeners a small taste.
All right. Thank you for that.
Yeah, man.
All right, I don't care if your nanny was black or you ate grits for breakfast every morning and you knew a girl in high school, a black girl, and she was nice. I don't care if your nanny was black because Michael Griffiths is dead, killed by white youths who got her free even though witnesses testified to their crime. So I don't care, you hear? I don't care because black woman Tawana Brawley was raped by four white cops who are still out on the street. And Donald Trump takes on a three-page ad in the New York Times calling for the death of six black youths.